Clear is that the police have handled everything since then terribly, and the tone deafness began with this.
Asked how many times Brown was shot, St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar said,
"It was more than just a couple, but I don't think it was many more than that."
Just think about what he's saying there. Not much more than twice. Could you try and minimize this anymore? Look, listen, everyone. Only very many more than one bullet was fired, so everybody calm down, shall we? The police then refused for days to release the name of the officer involved, and when they eventually did, they packaged it with a DVD extra that no one wanted.
At the same time, they released video of Michael Brown allegedly carrying out a store robbery minutes before he was shot and killed, and that has sparked new outrage.
Yeah, of course it has, because it's irrelevant. If the police wanted to distract everyone with a video that has absolutely nothing to do with Michael Brown's shooting, they should have just released Ghostbusters instead. It's exactly as relevant to everything that happened afterwards. But the more the week went on, the more you got the sense that those in charge of folks don't have the best sense of how their community feels. Just listen to the mayor.
"We've never seen this kind of violence. We've never seen this kind of frustration or tension between the races. I've always been proud to say that to people. I know we've always gotten along, and I know our community still gets along very well."
Oh, we're absolutely famous for it. Presumably that is why I, the mayor of Ferguson, am currently on national fucking television. Presumably, we're talking about how well our town is getting along right now, and always has. The thing is, if you ask around in Ferguson, you get a slightly different story.
The cops harassment is frequently. It's all through the day, it's all through the night. Then they not beating us physically, they doing it verbally.
Here's the thing the mayor doesn't understand. As a general rule, no one should ever be allowed to say there is no history of racial tension here, because that sentence has never been true anywhere on Earth. Even in Antarctica. Even in Antarctica, there is tension between emperor penguins and Gentoo penguins.
Here's this main intersection. The protesters have moved all the way down there. They're about half a block down here. John, watch with me. They're all the way down there, okay? Nobody's threatening anything. Nobody's doing anything. None of the stores here that I can see are being looted. There's no violence. Now, I want you to look at what is going on in Ferguson, Missouri, in downtown America, okay? These are armed police. With semi-automatic rifles, with batons, with shields, many of them dressed for combat. Now, why they're doing this, I don't know. Because there is no threat going on here, none, that merits this. There is none, okay? Absolutely, there have been looters. Absolutely, over the last 9 days, there's been violence, but there is nothing going on this street right now that merits this scene out of Bagram.
Go! Go! Alert! GI cop attacks!
Ready to occupy your strip mall. It's the GI cop battle Starbucks Fortress.
GI cop!
Complete with hardened Dodge Chargers and missile-firing armored personnel carriers.
Time to break out the 20mm Vulcan cannon.
GI cop!
You put your men into position. But wait, there's a civilian carrying an iPhone and a blueberry scone. Ready, aim, fire!
GI cop comes with his own tank to occupy the Family Dollar parking lot.
Now, time to occupy the sector between Best Buy and Bed Bath & Beyond. You spot trouble with someone holding something that looks like a gun. Is that person a patriot or a thug? You use your shoulder-mounted pigment scanner to determine whether to give him a ride home or use your taser.
My GI cop has camouflage, so he can't be seen in Missouri.
Get the GI cop Battle Starbucks Fortress today.
GI cop.
This is a message from the Department of Post-Racial America Emergency Alert System. We have activated this alert system to assure you that racial strife is a thing of the past. What matters is not the color of your skin, but the content of
our mine-resistant armored vehicles
and the quality of
our Kevlar.
We understand residents of
Ferguson, Missouri
are upset by the recent
shooting
of an unarmed black man. We urge you to voice your concerns through the proper channels. Be advised that though a police department of
53
individuals contains only
3
African Americans, your concerns will be heard. Street demonstrations and intermittent constitutional outages are in no way related to income, educational, or judicial inequality. These outages result entirely from the recent
tragedy
and related
hooliganism.
If you are a
peaceful protester,
please exercise your
First
Amendment rights during the designated hours posted. If curfew has been lifted, you may exercise your right of
free speech
before the
weaponized authorities.
If you are a member of
the media,
all races, colors, and creeds must report from the
designated information center.
Today's police response will be overseen by and will rely on the principles of the Department of Post-Racial America Emergency Alert System would like everyone to come together and honor the memory of
Brown Michael.
Please stand by for periodic alerts from the Department of Post-Racial America Emergency Alert System.
Which is about two-thirds African-American.
What is the makeup of your police force, the number, and how many of them are white? I just want clarification of that.
They keep saying three are African-American, but I actually believe it's five. There was six, but one left fairly recently. We also have a Hispanic and two Asian Pacific Islanders.
Exactly. Look, it doesn't stop there, guys. We got a couple of white guys who occasionally listen to hip-hop music. I mean, Macklemore, sure, but still. Also, we have six Norwegian Americans who really enjoyed The Lion King on Broadway. So it's not it's more diverse than it seems.
Under a minute, millions of Americans will witness history.
All right, hey everybody, Dr. Furious here, Furious George Show. We are spotlighting the crazy furiousness, craziness going down in Afghanistan. So we're going to be talking about that tonight here at WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough, 103.5 LPFM, low power, micro power, community based radio. And we got some fun new music and old school music. So thanks for listening. It's me and DJ Jazzy Abby, where we are rocking in with some special attention relating to this stuff hitting Afghanistan. So we're going to spin this show in solidarity with those folks, trying to crank out some crazy beats. Check out furiousg.blogspot.com if you want to learn more about our old shows. Thanks for listening. I'm furious!
This is a message from the Department of Post-Racial America, Emergency Alert System. We have activated this alert system to assure you that racial strife is a thing of the past. What matters is not the color of your skin, but the content of
our mine-resistant armored vehicles
and the quality of
our Kevlar.
We understand residents of
Ferguson, Missouri
are upset by the recent
shooting
of an unarmed black man. We urge you to voice your concerns through the proper channels. Be advised that though a police department of
53
individuals contains only
3
African Americans, your concerns will be heard. Street demonstrations and intermittent constitutional outages are in no way related to income, educational, or judicial inequality. These outages result entirely from the recent
tragedy
and related
hooliganism.
If you are a
peaceful protester,
please exercise your
First
Amendment rights during the designated hours posted. If curfew has been lifted, you may exercise your right of
free speech
before the
weaponized authorities.
If you are a member of
the media,
all races, colors, and creeds must report from the
designated information center.
Today's police response will be overseen by and will rely on the principles of the Department of Post-Racial America Emergency Alert System. Would like everyone to come together and honor the memory of
Brown Michael.
Please stand by for periodic alerts from the Department of Post-Racial America Emergency Alert System.
Police searches, nearly 93% of arrests.
Even though they stopped more blacks, more whites had contraband.
Yeah, of course more whites had contraband. They knew that if you look like this, you don't get stopped. If you are white in Ferguson, you would need to be snorting cocaine directly off your dashboard to get stopped by the police. Whereas, if you're an African-American in Ferguson, like, say, Henry Davis here, you may have a slightly different experience. Because while in custody in the Ferguson jail in 2009, officers grabbed him and pushed him and struck him multiple times. They say they were provoked, although oddly, there is no video of this incident, despite the fact the jail is equipped with video cameras. And what is known, though, at this point, is that he was later charged with 4 counts of destruction of city property for bleeding on their uniforms. And I've got to say, he was lucky that he wasn't eating spaghetti at the time of his beating, or they would have upgraded that charge to a felony.
grabbed a guy who was holding a jug full of something. I don't know if it was something that they thought was a threat or not exactly. It's my fault. You're right. Obviously, they thought that one of the gentlemen in the crowd, one of the protesters, if people wonder
the local police,
why the people of Ferguson, Missouri,
St. Louis County Police Lieutenant is without a job tonight. He was fired for allegedly ordering patrol officers to arrest black people shopping in South County.
Oh, it wasn't just that he ordered racial profiling. It was how he allegedly did it, with his colleagues claiming that he said things like, let's have a black day, and let's make the jail cells more colorful. Now, let's be fair here. Let's have a black day is an awesome thing to say if you are shaft. And let's make the jail cells more colourful is entirely appropriate if you're an interior designer with a folder full of paint swatches. However, if you're a white police officer, it's not ideal to say either of those, which is not to say that all cops are bad. They are clearly not. Also, the people of Ferguson want and need an effective police force. But perhaps their relationship was best summed up by this photo from earlier this week. Not just ludicrously aggressive police facing off against an unarmed man, but also the fact that someone has clearly written "f*** the police" on the post box. Something that apparently CNN did not notice when they were using this photo during all of their coverage.
In response to the war on drugs, the Department of Defense transferred $4.3 billion in military equipment to local and state police. After 9/11, the Department of Homeland Security made additional equipment available to local law enforcement through federal funds for terrorism prevention.
That's right. This has happened on such a scale that it's enabled small towns like Keene, New Hampshire, to apply for a Bearcat, a military-grade armored personnel truck, which they needed because, as their application argued, the terrorism threat is far-reaching and often unforeseen, and cited as a possible target their annual pumpkin festival.
Thank you.
specifically this pumpkin festival, which is now being protected by this. Good luck easily outmaneuvering that, teenagers with baseball bats. And if you're wondering what it feels like to have
this a mine-resistant
vehicle on the streets of your town.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. The police drove an armored vehicle into the street.
I give you a YouTube video of two dudes from Saginaw, Michigan.
Holy shit, dude. Super armored, dude.
Damn. He doesn't want anybody to see him in there.
Dude, you can't even see him.
Damn.
That's crazy. Saginaw County Sheriff, dude. It looks cool, dude. Look how big these tires are compared to our... It's taller than... It's, dude.
That's awesome.
Now, to be fair, that is exactly how they reacted when a Chipotle first opened there.
Unnecessary heavy armaments all separate. Box Fortress. Complete with hardened Dodge Chargers and missile-firing armored personnel carriers.
Time to break out the 20mm Vulcan cannon.
You put your men into position. But wait, there's a civilian carrying an iPhone and a blueberry scone. Ready, aim, fire.
G.I. Cop comes with his own tank to occupy the Family Dollar parking lot.
Showed you earlier, it flooded through social media today. Different angles of it. It's taken yesterday amid the growing outrage over the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. Images of police in riot gear walking toward a man with his hands raised, pointing their weapons at him from a few feet away. Of course, part of the reason we're seeing such widespread and reverberating outrage over the death of Michael Brown outside St. Louis is that it comes right on the heels of other images, like this one of Eric Garner, whose death was ruled a homicide by a medical examiner after he was put in a chokehold by a New York City police officer in July. Or this one of a 51-year-old African-American woman on the ground being punched by a California Highway Patrol officer also in July. It's not just those images. that have led to so much outrage and anguish and condemnations of the state of American justice. It is those images juxtaposed against some other big stories this year, such as these pictures of the open carry movement that show gun owners just strolling the aisles of a Target store carrying long guns and assault rifles. Officers from the Bureau of Land Management, try to imagine if any of these people were African American. Try to imagine what would have happened at the Bundy Ranch if they had used the tactics in Ferguson, Missouri last night. In 1967, images of Black Panthers with guns walking into the California State House to protest a gun control measure actually helped contribute to the modern gun control movement. Governor Ronald Reagan saying at the time, there's no reason why on the street today a citizen should be carrying loaded weapons. In 2002, Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright August Wilson articulated the racial double standard that continues to dominate the country. There's a difference, he said, between white and black in America. A black man unarmed standing in a vestibule of his house is shot 41 times. A white man waving a rifle on the lawn of the White House, 150 yards from the leader of the free world. They negotiate with him for 10 minutes and shoot him one time in the leg. That's a difference in being white and black in America. Joining me now, Philip Agnew, director of Dream Defenders and retired NYPD detective Mark Claxton.
Show of force, use of force type policing, it's been increasingly about producing numbers, arrest numbers, and showing force in communities as opposed to relating to communities, communicating with communities, and diffusing situations prior to them happening.
So you think the trajectory is actually getting worse?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. Huh. I mean, you show the images, for example, of police officers in full military regalia at a civil disturbance for all intents and purposes. And a lot of times, those type of incidents, that type of show of force exacerbates situations, and it really damages the relationship that should exist, the good relationship between police departments and the community at large. They are the client, and they should always be considered the client and not some entity that needs to be enforced upon.
You've been doing a lot of organizing around this issue, and obviously it's something that's been acutely problematic in Florida, in certain areas of Florida, but around the country. I mean, how much do you see this as a trend? How much do you see this as an enduring reality that's been like this for a long time?
It's been like this for a very long time. It's been like this for a very, you know, Chris, ever since you're born, you're taught that this posture right here should guarantee you life and liberty in your interaction with the police officer. This should indicate to a police officer that you need him or her no longer. Subjecting yourself to the will of that police officer. And this is the position that for years in this country was the last position that people that look like me and people that look like people around this country died in. And so this is an enduring trend in this country. This should mean, this is the white flag. I'm surrendering to you, and it's only so long. What you're seeing in Ferguson, it's only so long that people can look in their timeline and see kids dying and not react in a way that's human and that's real and that's genuine.
We'll be right back.
He's the justice reporter for Huffington Post. He posted this image just before being arrested on Twitter. It was SWAT just invaded McDonald's where I'm working, recharging, asked for ID when I took his photo. What happened next? Ryan now joins me on the phone. He has been released from custody, as I understand it. Ryan, are you there?
I am.
What happened?
It was madness. So originally the SWAT officers walked through and I took a couple of photos at that time, and they talked to the manager, who then basically decided to leave, and then they reversed course, came back and decided that they're actually going to shut down the McDonald's and asked everyone to leave. So they asked us to be unpacking up our stuff. Evidently, I was not moving quickly enough for their life, and at which point I was given a countdown. I was told I had 45 seconds, 30 seconds to pack up all of my stuff and leave. At which point, the officer in question, who I repeatedly later would ask for his name and was never, or his badge number was never given it, decided that he was going to help me pack, and he grabbed my things and shoved them into my bag. He then arrested me. And as he handcuffed me, put on both very tight, he used his finger to put a pressure point on my neck, and it was just a very, very difficult experience.
Did he tell you what you were under arrest for not leaving a McDonald's quickly enough?
Correct. Yes. He would not tell me what I was under arrest for.
And he was in SWAT.
It's going to be very difficult to hold him accountable for his actions, because I repeatedly asked over a dozen times for his name or ID number, was never given it. It was just a terrible experience. The worst part was he slammed my head against the glass purposefully on the way out of the McDonald's and then sarcastically apologized for it.
From both sides. And Joe Scarborough, one of our friends over at MSNBC, this morning he had said, and I'm sure you guys have heard it, and I want to get you guys to respond to it, he said that you guys should have listened to the police and you should have just moved on. Was that a possibility?
Well, I would invite Joe Scarborough to come down to Ferguson and get out of 30 Rock, where he's sitting, sipping his Starbucks smugly. I invite him to come down here and talk to the residents of Ferguson, where I've been Monday afternoon, having tear gas shot at me, having rubber bullets shot at me, having mothers and daughters crying, having a 19-year-old boy crying as he had to run and pull his 21-year-old sister out from a cloud of tear gas.
You can't scroll past a picture of a young man in the middle of the street on his stomach with his brains blown out and react in any other way than the people are reacting right now. This should mean I want to live. And this is an enduring trend. He said it before. This is a consequence of heavy militarized police forces that have been infused with money from the federal government to terrorize communities.
Mark, when we have these discussions about police-community relations, particularly along the axis of race, there is a sort of historic nature of distrust between law enforcement, African Americans distrusting law enforcement, people of color distrusting law enforcement, particularly in urban environments. And I wonder just how you watch this unfold as a black man and as a former police officer, and how you think about those two identities of yourself.
That's an excellent question. Let me just say, first and foremost, I think that in large part we've had incidental distrust of police, because as I grew up and the way that I grew up, and many of my friends and family members, et cetera, did not have this innate distrust or dislike of police officers. It is the interactions that we've had historically, it is the interactions that we've had on a personal level that impact how we look at policing in general. It's the same. Sadly, it's the same type of mentality that occurs in communities. You can only go based on your own personal experiences. The struggle and the challenge, and Mr. Agnew's emotion is clear here, and this is why it's so important for us to deal, one, responsibly and respectfully and honestly with the racial component and dynamic that exists throughout the nation in law enforcement, etc. But then also be honest about where policing is going, how far away it's going from, you know, to serve and protect, and more in towards terms of enforcement.
November 25th, 2006, Sean Bell, Queens, New York, unarmed. January 1, 2009, Oscar Grant, Oakland, California, unarmed. January 29th, 2010, Aaron Campbell, Portland, Oregon, unarmed. July 18th, 2011, Alonzo Ashley, Denver, Colorado, unarmed. March 7th, 2012, Wendell Allen, New Orleans, Louisiana, unarmed. September 14th, 2013, Jonathan Farrell, Charlotte, North Carolina, unarmed. July 17th, 2014, Eric Garner, Staten Island, New York, unarmed. August 9th, 2014, Michael Brown, Ferguson, Missouri, unarmed. In the past decade alone, these men and hundreds of others have lost their lives to police. Local police report to the FBI killing at least 400 people a year. From 2006 to 2012, a white police officer killed a black person at least twice a week in this country. Which brings us back to Ferguson, Missouri. According to a report in the Daily Beast, in 2009, police officers charged a man for property damage because he bled on their uniforms while they arrested him and allegedly beat him bloody. Ferguson, Missouri, where it took 6 days to release the name of an officer who shot an unarmed teenager to death. Ferguson, Missouri, where police released images of someone who might be Michael Brown involved in a store robbery, and then hours later said the robbery had nothing to do with why Michael Brown was stopped by the police officer who killed him. Ferguson is just outside St. Louis, Missouri, the place where, as historian Blair Kelly reminded us this week in The Root, Dred Scott sued for his freedom on the grounds that he and his wife had for many years lived in a free state. His case eventually went to the Supreme Court, and in 1857, Chief Justice Roger Taney declared that Scott had no right to sue because, as a black man, he was never intended to be an American. Speaking on the clause in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal, Taney wrote, quote, "It is too clear for dispute that the enslaved African race were not intended to be included and formed no part of the people who framed and adopted this declaration." And he went on to say that black men had no rights which the white man was bound to respect. No rights which the white man was bound to respect. No rights which the white man was bound to respect. No rights which the white man was bound to respect.
or in a grave, or homeless, or without a school, or so many other different statistics, and it's not fair to know that. It's hard to live and know that. It's hard. It's not fair. It's not. To know that one part of this city, some folks will live until their hair is gray. And on another part of this city, babies are literally dying. Now, some folks use this rhetoric that black on black crime is a thing. That's not even a real thing, because first of all, in America, it's more white people, period. You know what that means, America? That more white people commit more crimes. And actually, 84% of the white people that kill white people. We don't talk about white on white crime in the news, though. We keep using this rhetoric of black on black crime as if something is defective with black people. As if folks are just out here and they have behavior issues. It allows people to not address the real issues of poverty in this country.
Simpson going bowling tonight? Yes, nice pinto you have.
Niggas don't know him like that. See, white folks get a ticket, they pull over.
Hey, officer, yes. Glad to be of help.
Nigga got to be talking about, I am reaching into my pocket for my license. Because I don't want to be no motherfucking accident. Police degrade, I don't know, you know, it's awful. You wonder why a nigga don't go completely mad. You know, you do, you get your shit together, you work all week, right? And then you get dressed, you make, maybe say cat make $125, we get $80 if he lucky. Right, and he go out, get clean, be driving with his old lady, going out to a club, and police pull over. Get out of the car, that was a robbery, a nigga looked just like you. All right, put your hands up, take your pants down, spread your cheeks. Now, what nigga feel like having fun after that?
Oh, let's just go home, baby. You go home, beat your kids and shit.
go.
But the point is, listen carefully as one of them suddenly realizes something.
Damn, dude, that's fucked up. Why? Has our city gotten that fucking bad?
Here's the thing. No, it hasn't got that bad. Because unless you live in downtown Kabul, there is no practical need for anything like that in your town. Just ask the people that it came from.
The army itself, actually, in a newsletter a few months ago, recommended against using MRAPs, even at U.S. military bases. You know, on paved streets in the United States, they're actually unsafe. They tear up the streets. They have a high rollover potential.
Exactly. The only vehicle that should be tearing up the streets of Saginaw is Chad's souped-up Honda Civic.
Dude! Dude, my car is sick, dude!
Jug full of something. I don't know if it was something that they thought was for combat. Now, why they're doing this, I don't know. Because there is no threat going on here. None that merits this. There is none.
Police degrade, I don't know, you know, it's awful. You wonder why a nigga don't go completely mad.
The police are not soldiers. So why, in this photo from Ferguson, are they wearing fucking camo? They are northwest of St. Louis, not northwest of the Amazon. If they want to blend in with their surroundings, they should be dressed as a dollar store. And also, look in the photo at where their guns are pointed. If you were actually in the military, you would know that you are not supposed to do that.
In the military, we're trained on something called escalation of force, which basically means the only time that you're really going to point a weapon directly at someone is when you're ready to pull the trigger. And instead of that, we've seen in Ferguson that police are just wandering around with their weapons up at all times, pointing them at people that obviously didn't pose a threat.
Absolutely, there have been looters. Absolutely, over the last 9 days, there's been violence. But there is nothing going on this street right now that merits this scene out of Bagram.
Now, time to occupy the sector between Best Buy and Bed Bath & Beyond. You spot trouble with someone holding something that looks like a gun. Is that person a patriot or a thug? You use your shoulder-mounted pigment scanner to determine whether to give him a ride home or use your taser.
My GI cop has camouflage, so he can't be seen in Missouri.
This is not the color of your skin, but the content of
our mine-resistant armored vehicles.
It's the quality of
our Kevlar.
We understand residents of
Ferguson, Missouri
are upset by the recent
shooting
of an unarmed black man. We urge you to voice your concerns through the proper channels.
When he basically, he then arrested me. And as he handcuffed me, put on both sides very tight. He used his finger to put a pressure point on my neck.
Get the GI Cop Battle Starbucks Fortress today. GI Cop. Unnecessary heavy armament sold separately.
So if people wonder why the people of Ferguson, Missouri are so upset, this is part of the reason.
Police the great, I don't know, you know, it's awful. You wonder why a nigga don't go completely mad. You know, you do, you get your shit together, you work all week, right? And then you get dressed, you make it. They say, can't make $125, we get $80 if he's lucky. Right, and he go out, get clean, be driving with his old lady, going out to a club, and police pull over. Get out of the car, that was a robbery, a nigga look just like you. All right, put your hands up, take your pants down, spread your cheek.
He would not tell me what I was under arrest for.
And he was in SWAT gear.
He was in complete SWAT gear, yes. And the most frustrating thing is that it's going to be very difficult to hold him accountable for his actions, just because I repeatedly asked over a dozen times for his name or ID number, was never given it. It was just a terrible experience. He spent, the worst part was he slammed my head against the glass purposefully on the way out of the McDonald's, and then sarcastically apologized for it. It was just a terrible experience. And I recognize I'm in sort of a place of privilege here, both as a journalist and.
Degrade you. White folks don't believe that shit. Don't believe cops degrade them. Oh, come on. Those beatings, those people are resisting arrest. I'm tired of this harassment of police officers. Because the police live in your neighborhood, see? And you be known them as Officer Timpson.
Hello, Officer Timpson. Going bowling tonight? Yes, nice pinto you have.
Niggas don't know him like that. See, white folks get a ticket, they pull over.
Hey, officer, yes, glad to be of help to you.
Nigga got to be talking about, I am reaching into my pocket for my license. Because I don't want to be no motherfucking accident.
All right, hey, this is Furious George. Furious George Show, we're doing it every Thursday night. We do it starting around 10, going late night. And we like to spotlight some craziness going down. And so you can probably imagine the show's been spotlighting a ridiculous state of affairs in Ferguson, Afghanistan. And we've used Richard Pryor and some clips from John Oliver and Sound of the Police and some help from Rocky Mountain Mike and some other fun stuff to just talk about how crazy it is with poor people getting basically beaten down by police who are, you know, kind of in an apartheid situation. So we wanted to send some good vibes their way and talk a little bit about it and have some fun with music at the same time. If you like what you're hearing, keep doing it. We'll keep going and also post this show and others on furiousg.blogspot.com for the whole archive of the Furious shows going way back into the 90s when we were doing this pirate radio styly. So thanks for listening to Micropower Radio, WCOM-FM. You can go to WCOMFM.org and learn about the show there. And you can learn about all the other good stuff that happens with our station, WCOM, here in downtown Carrboro. Lots of fun stuff. In fact, fun stuff's relating to Furious, where apparently we're going to Hopscotch here across the street over in Raleigh. We got a free press pass, so I'm going to go check that out and hear some cool De La Soul and some other fun stuff. So we'll be spotlighting that in the week to come. Anticipation. But more importantly, we'll wrap this show up with a special attention to how effed up it is in Afghanistan. So thanks for listening to Mike Power Radio. I'm Furious!